This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
I want to talk to us today. We're leading into it as we end out the year, and I want to talk to us just simply titled, How do I pray? Like, how do I pray? Going into 2025, we do a thing here at a church. It's not new to most churches, but we do a thing called 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. It starts January 2nd, and we run through the 22nd, where we just take a time to, like, stop and pause and take some intentional time to pray throughout the day and to fast. And we pray all year. Like, it's not we just don't do 21 days and then don't pray anymore. That's crazy. But this is the time where we take prayer and fasting and we combine them together, knowing that this is an opportunity for us to connect with God. And I think sometimes you hear there's all different forms of fasting, and we'll talk more about that next week. But sometimes we hear the word fast and we're like, it immediately causes fear, because, like, when you hear fasting, you think, well, that means I can't eat for 21 days, and you're like, well, that's not necessarily what fasting means. That's part of it, and you could choose to do that. But fasting comes in all different forms. Maybe it is fasting food. Maybe it's fasting a meal. Maybe it's fasting your favorite food. Maybe for you, some people just say, hey, I'm going to take juice for 21 days, or I'm going to do this for 21 days. Maybe it's getting off social media. Maybe that's something that really you're addicted to and you're involved in social media, and you say, well, for 21 days, I'm just going to pause for that for a minute. Maybe it's a hobby that you really love to do, and you say, well, I'm going to fast that for 21 days. And maybe it's a certain food type, like maybe for some of you, sugar. Come on. For 21 days. Now, I will tell you this, it'd probably be good for you, but the second part is your friends, your spouse, tell them you're going to be a little angry for the next 21 days. Your sugar has that effect on you. But maybe it's soda. You like soda a lot, so you're going to fast it. Here's one I've heard before. God bless you. Coffee. You're going to fat coffee for 21 days. You're like, but just maybe find something that means a lot to you, but you're like, I'm going to disconnect from that so that I can connect to God. And we'll talk more about that. But we want to help you real quickly this morning. Like, here's some ways you can get connected in January. We just thought we'd outline this quickly for you. Here's some great ways to get connected in January. First one is every Tuesday morning, just so you know, we have prayer here every Tuesday morning at 8:30, 45 minutes to an hour. Our staff is all here. And we just want to encourage you. I know some of you work or you have jobs. You can't do that. But if you're available, you can come and go as you want. But we meet right here in the sanctuary for 8:30. It's really kind of, you just find a place on your own and pray. And usually at the end, we'll come together and just pray corporately and go. But if you, we want to encourage you, come out at 8:30 on Tuesday mornings if you're available, if you can do that. And we meet in here and pray at 8:30. And then every Wednesday night during our 21 days, we're going to have prayer and worship and prayer. Now, we do prayer every Wednesday night, but we're going to add an element of worship. Our new worship pastor will be here, and we're going to have a worship and prayer nights together on those Wednesday nights for those 21 days. So I encourage you to be a part of that. I would encourage you to start our CLC Bible reading plan. It starts January 1st. And I don't know if we have a QR code, but we could throw that up. But if not, you could check the Welcome Center, or we even have it on paper. Every year as a church, we do a Bible reading plan. In other words, if you follow this plan daily, by December 31st, you would have read the entire Bible. And the cool thing about it is it's getting the word inside your life. But the really cool thing is we're doing this together. So we're all kind of tracking on the same plan together, reading the same scriptures every day together. It's really, really cool. It's really, really important. And you can pick up that information at our Welcome Center. It goes day by day what you should be reading. It also has, this year we're doing like a video element to it. So you can always go on and on the YouTube video link and catch it. And it kind of recaps what you read. You know, when you get into like Leviticus, if you know anything about Leviticus, you want to recap, all right? Because this gets crazy reading those things. So it's really cool. I want to encourage you to get into that Bible reading plan. Start in January 1st. It's amazing. And you can be able to say, I accomplished reading the Bible in a year. The other fifth thing there is that we start our 21 days prayer and fasting. And we are providing you this year a cool little card that you can pick up at the Welcome Center. And it just goes day by day what you could be praying for. And then we're providing you with this 21 days of prayer and fasting devotional. It's really kind of cool. Again, you could pick this up on your way out. I would encourage encourage you to grab it. It starts January 2nd, and this goes day by day. It's just a small devotional to kind of like you could read and just say, okay, get start your day. And what I love about this is at the end, we give you a prayer focus. So day one, you're praying for spiritual growth in the year and for clarity on who to invite to do the Bible reading plan with you. So it gives you every day what you could be praying for, a devotional for that day. You could pick that up on the way out. So I encourage you to grab that all for these 21 days of prayer and fasting. On the 22nd, that Wednesday night, we're going to be doing a worship celebration, kind of the end of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. We invite everyone out. It's just a worship service. We'll have the band up here, and we're just going to worship the Lord and celebrate Him, kind of ending our 21 days of prayer and fasting. So I'd encourage you to come out that night on the 22nd. And then on the 29th, the following Wednesday, starts our Grow You classes, our Grow You small groups on Wednesday night. If you've not been a part of that, we're going to be hammering that in your head. You need to be a part of those. It's amazing. We're going to start off with a topic, a study on serve, what it means to serve, what is God's answer to serve. He reminds us that the greatest in the kingdom is the one who serves. And so I would encourage you starting the 29th to be a part of our Grow You tracks. You'll love it. And then lastly, I'll just say this, February 2nd, what a great way to go out of January is we'll be doing water baptisms. And so if you are interested in water baptism, sign up at the Welcome Center or email our office and we'll get you on the list. But February 2nd, we're going to kind of have an awesome Sunday where we do water baptisms as well. So take a picture, go back and watch that on social media. Just lots of things happening here that we want to connect you with over this next month. And what I love about it, it's all about directing you to a closer relationship with God. It's not about us. It's not about our private kingdom. It's about connecting you to a relationship with God. So today I want to talk to you about taking that into consideration. How do we pray? How do we pray? There's nothing more like frustrating and maybe you've all experienced this, to get amped up. You're excited, like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray. I want to pray. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to go after it. I'm going to make it a resolution. I'm going to make it a goal. I'm going to go after pray this year. You go home, and that day, you make the time. You carve the time out of your schedule to do this, man. You go into, you pick a space in your house. Maybe you get a nice, beautiful candle going, and you get your perfect worship music playing, and you get your Bible out. You're ready to go. And you start praying, man. You're praising God. You're thanking Him. You're bringing your requests and your needs before Him. And after it's all said and done, right, you say, in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, amen. And you look at yourself and you go, man, that was a great prayer time. Look at my watch. Like, oh, I've been here forever. Wait, no, 58 seconds have gone by. Right? Wow, man, I thought this would be much easier than that. 58 seconds, I feel like I've been here forever. And we've all been at that place, right? And I want to challenge you, because I don't think there's more important of a task as your pastor than to teach you how to pray. No greater task that from my seat that I could teach our congregation than how to pray. Why? Because prayer is communication with God. And there is no relationship without communication. There's no earthly relationship without communication, and there's definitely no heavenly spiritual relationship without communication. And if you want to build a relationship with God, we've got to learn to talk, and we've got to learn to listen. It's something that all of us have to develop. Like, I wish I could say some Christians are just born to pray. But I think it's something that no matter who you are, you're not born with it. You have to develop this idea of a prayer life and seeking God. The problem is that some of us are really, really great fans of God. Like, some of us, we aren't into this relationship thing with God, but we're really, really, really good fans of God. Like, it's almost like, you remember, any of you remember ever having a celebrity crush when you were a kid? You know what I mean? Like, I had a celebrity crush. I'm going to date myself, and none of you have ever heard of this, but man, Daisy Duke. Anybody ever heard of Daisy Duke? Like, right? I mean, I'm from the South. I mean, Dukes of Hazzard, like the celebrity crush, and it's weird. Celebrity crushes are weird, but that's how sometimes we, as Christians, treat our relationship with God. It's like we have a crush on Him, but we're not really all in. Like, we stand back and we admire Him, and we're a fan of Him, and we like all the attributes of Him, but we don't really follow Him. I think God wants people who want to build a relationship with Him, who want to communicate with Him, that want to go to a whole different level. And at the end of the day, church, the foundation of Christianity is having a relationship with God. That's the whole foundation, the whole purpose of Christianity is to have that relationship with him. And there's no relationship without communication. Charles Spurgeon was a famous great preacher back in the day. He made this, said this amazing, amazing quote. And this is what he said. He goes, "I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." One man to pray than 10 men to preach. The impact of one person who prays can't be calculated. And we've seemed to get our priorities as followers of God kind of mixed up a little bit. And I'm just here to remind you in 2025, that your greatest success, your greatest ministry will be your prayer life. Your greatest success, your greatest ministry, the greatest thing you will do is your prayer life. So how do we pray? Because I just think if we can learn to put this into practice, if we can make prayer part of our lives, then it gives you an amazing access to the God of the universe. And you know, and you will know that no matter what comes your way, no matter what happens to you, you can go to God. That's the great news for us. There's a whole world. I've said this a million times. What drives me to stand on this stage and to do all the things that we do as a church is because I don't know how you do life without God. Like, how do people in the world do life without a God? But we sit here today and we're like, well, we understand with prayer, we do life with God. No matter what comes my way, I can go to God. In those moments of loneliness, you can go to God. In those moments of fear, you can go to God. In those moments of needing answers and needing help, you can go to God. In your moments of doubt and confusion, you can go to God. Prayer, guys, is the lifeline to the believer. It is your lifeline. And we've got to know it, and we've got to practice it. So that's why we're going to see this passage. We're going to look at this passage this morning that is so important, where Jesus actually teaches us how to pray. So if you want to turn your Bibles, or it'll be on the screen, Luke chapter 1, it's in the Gospel of Luke, and this is what it starts out. It says this: one day Jesus was praying. Now let me just pause there for a moment. This is an important note for you to know. How many of you know, if Jesus prayed, you should pray? If Jesus prayed, you should pray. Well, Pastor, I don't know. I don't need anything in my life right now. I'm all good. I'll just say to you, if anybody didn't need anything, it was Jesus, okay? Like, he was all-powerful. He still found the need and the importance of separation, finding time to communicate with God. So if Jesus prayed, you need to pray. So one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Now, these guys, these disciples, were raised up in a very religious culture. Like, they had seen prayer before. The problem with what they've seen before, the prayer they've seen before, it was very religious, it was very routine, it was very stoic, it had no feeling. It was that version of prayer. And now Jesus comes on the scene, and he shows a life-giving, a connection with God, the God the Father. It was that type of prayer. And they looked at him, and they're like, we've never seen that before. We've never seen that type of prayer and that type of connection. How do we get that kind of prayer? And Jesus replies with this unbelievable prayer called the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer. And if you've been a part of church for any amount of time, you've probably heard the Lord's Prayer. Many of you in the room could probably recite it, the Lord's Prayer that he taught us how to pray. But today, I'm not going to teach you the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to talk about that. You're like, well, Pastor Heath, that's what the whole Scripture's about. That's what it's talking about. Listen, the Lord's Prayer is the most popular prayer in all Scriptures. It gives us this great outline of how to pray. But we're also giving you this amazing promo here, 21 days devotional that you can pick up on your way out, that goes day by day on how to pray, what to pray for. And so I'm helping you out there right now. Make sure you pick that up on your way out. But Jesus tells these guys, he gives them the Lord's Prayer, he gives them this outline in this passage, then he goes on, he gives them a whole different thought, a whole different way to look at things. So I want to share with you for the few moments we have together. So he gives us this passage on prayer that doesn't make sense in the context of the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, and then he gives them this whole other analogy, this whole other parable that how do you make them make sense together? So let's look at this for a moment. He goes on in verse 5. He says, "Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight." Now, we know that this friend is under 30 because no one over 30 is awake at midnight. So we know that. So crazy friend out having a good time comes to his house at midnight. So he comes to him at midnight and he says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him." Verse 7, "And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed.'" Now, if you have kids in here, how many of you have kids? No, it's one thing to wake up adults. You wake up the children, though? How many know? Come on, amen, right? Like, those are fighting words. Don't wake the kids up. It was hard enough to get them down. Now you're going to wake them up. But the kids are already in bed. And he says, "I can't get up and give you anything. I can't get up and give you anything." So he goes on. So he tells him, "Well, I can't give you anything." Then he gives this incredible, credible scripture to us in verse 8. And he says, "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship," look what he says, "yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." This is crazy, absolutely crazy. Then he goes on, he finishes this. So Jesus says, "So I say to you," Jesus goes on and says, "ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open." I just want to encourage you as we go into 2025, as we go into our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I just want to challenge our church. I want to challenge myself. I want to challenge you as an individual. Like, maybe it's time for us to start praying some big prayers. I just wonder if maybe our prayers have gotten a little easy, a little simple. And maybe it's time for us as a church in 2025 to start praying some big prayers. Like, in teaching us how to pray, Jesus gives us this outline of prayer. And then he gives us this challenge. And he's basically saying, hey, you need to pray some big, crazy prayers. And I'm just a firm believer that if we know, if we would truly understand how big our God is, and if you would really truly understand how much he loves you, we would pray much larger prayers. We would pray much bigger prayers. But the issue is many of us live lives that are weak because our prayers are weak. Our prayers are small. Our prayer life goes something like, well, you know, Jesus, if you could, like, you know, like maybe if it's possible, Jesus, like, could you, if you try to get around to it, if you find some time in your busy schedule, Lord, like, could you maybe just maybe help me with my small thing here, even though you know it's a really large thing? Like, that's how we approach God sometimes. We pray these weak prayers. And get this morning, it'll be on the screen. I really believe that many times it's the size of our prayers that display the size of the faith we have in our God. It's the size of it that really tells us, where is your faith? And this season, I just want to raise you up, raise your level of faith. And it's not just what you say, it's how you say it, it's how you practice. Are you praying prayers of faith this year? I'll be transparent with you for just a moment. In my spirit, I just as I've been praying for this year to come, 2024 was unique in so many ways, but I feel it within me that the Lord is challenging me. I feel like he's challenging you. I feel like he's challenging our church that we need to have some big faith this year. That we need to have some big trust this year. Like, I believe God is challenging us as a church to go all in and actually believe God for who he says he is. And not just believe God for who he says he is, but also believe that he can do what he says he can do. Like, I think that we need to start to believe God for some things. Just last night, I came across an article, an ABC News article that talked about, they took this time of the year and this particular season to talk about the decline of the church and how churches are literally by the thousands closing their doors every day. That how the percentages of America, maybe 45% of all of America really affiliate with the church and how the church is done. And not even go beyond that, but even to go on to say in this article, like the church buildings and how church buildings are being sold left and right. They're becoming restaurants. They're becoming businesses. They're becoming tore down so they can build residential housing and new homes. And I'm just sitting here going, you know what? I'm just believing God for something bigger this year. I'm just looking for bigger faith. That this is not my story, this is not your story, and more importantly, this is not the church's story. That the church that believes God for big things are going to see some really big things. And he goes on and he describes this man, Jesus in his parable describes this man, and he describes him as audacious. He says he has audacity. And if you're taking notes, you need to write this down, because here's what audacity means. It really means this: a lack of sensitivity to what is proper. A lack of sensitivity to what is proper. Carelessness about the good opinion of others. Shamelessness. And I love this, boldness. Like, isn't it crazy that Jesus tells us earlier on, when he gives us the Lord Prayer, he gives us the proper way to pray. But then he comes behind it and he says, don't have proper prayers. Don't have proper prayers. He says, be audacious. Be reckless. Be bold. Be careless. Like, go move beyond your sensitivity and get out of what is proper. He's telling us that we need to be bold in our prayers. It's asking big. It's believing big. It's asking strong prayers. I remember a few years ago when my son was younger, we were in Anaheim and we took our family to an Angels baseball game. And I remember that Braden wanted these. He saw other people with him and he wanted these nachos. And so we took him up and we ordered some really overpriced nachos. And so they give them to you in the Angels batting helmet, right? And we got these nachos. And I remember when they gave it to us, we started to look and walk away and we realized, like, man, this helmet's like half empty. Like, why isn't it full of nachos? Like, man, like everyone else got full ones, and he's got this half-empty one. And my thought was like, man, this really isn't fair. And I could kind of see the disappointment on his face, like, that's it? And really, man, if you know anything about me, my family would say, I'm not a Karen, all right? So I'm usually just let it go guy. Like, I'm not the guy's like, get me the manager. I want to see the manager right away. But I hated it for him, and I wanted him to have a good experience at this. So I took the helmet back up. And I said, went up to the lady. I said, "Ma'am, is it possible that we could get more chips in here? It just seems like it's like really low in the amount." And she looked at me and she responded, "Of course I can do that. I'll be happy to do that." And she took the helmet. She went back. And she came back and was loaded with chips, right? Which I helped him eat. And we got back. And I said, I told him, I'm like, you know what, Braden? The worst she could have said was no. The worst she could have said is no. And I said, you know what? You just have to ask. I wonder how many of us are missing out on the miracle in your lives because we are simply not asking. We just simply aren't asking. Like I think the biggest frustration, that we're going to figure out one day are the prayers that went unanswered were simply because they went unasked. The prayers that weren't answered is just simply because you didn't ask. Get this morning. I believe this: boldness precedes breakthrough. Boldness precedes breakthrough. So if you want a breakthrough in your life, if you want breakthrough in your marriage, you want breakthrough in your finances, if you want breakthrough in your family and breakthrough with your kids, then we've got to get bold. Asking God for some big things this year. And I don't know what you've put on your prayer list already, but can I encourage you to up it? Like, can I encourage you, like, make it bigger than what's already on your prayer list? Like, let's put God in a place where we say, God, I'm trusting you to do something big in my life this year. And I'm going to ask you for it. I'm going to believe for it. I'm going to go after it. Mark Batterson, man, what a great author, great pastor, says it this way. I love it. Get this. He says, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayer. God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or boldest prayers. But get this, he's offended by anything less. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they are an insult to God. Wow. Think about that. Let us figure out how to change that in our lives. like to get bold, that boldness rise up inside us, to believe God for something great this year in your life. The healing that you never received, how about you believe God for it this year? Like the child that hasn't been conceived yet, let's believe God for it this year. The miracle that you need, let's believe God for it this year. The promotion, the raise that you didn't get last year, how about we believe God for it this year? The child that hasn't come back to faith that you've been praying for, let's believe God that this will be the year. Let's just get bold to believe God for some amazing things. Because I believe this, our lack of prayer results in a lack of power. And you wonder why the church is powerless in so many ways today. And I think it's because it's a lack of prayer. When we don't walk in prayer and we don't walk in faith, we don't see the power of God operating in our lives and in our church. But when we begin to say, hey, I'm going to pray, even if it's just the smallest little things, I'm going to it activates something in your life. It activates you to start to believe God for some really big things. When you start to do those little steps of prayer every day and make it part of your world and a part of your life, I think it activates an ability to trust Him with some impossible things. So the breakdown to this passage today is so important, and it shows us that it's not natural for us to go to God. Like, it's just not natural. Don't beat yourself up. It's just the natural human nature that it's not always in us to go after God. And at your seat this today, I'll give you a little homework in a moment. We put these prayer cards. By faith, I'm believing. What are you believing for this year? And I'm going to give you a little heads up so you know by the end of the service, you're going to need a pen. So nudge your wife or your neighbor. Say, I need a pen. But here's the deal. We give you these little cards. And I want us to think about what are you believing for God this year? And we're going to write these down. I'm encouraging you that you and I as a church, we flood our faith wall right outside these doors. We flood the faith wall with the things that you are believing for this year. We're going to attach these to those walls, these bold, crazy, audacious prayers that you are believing for. And I believe over these 21 days, guess what? We're going to be praying over every need that is on this wall. Hundreds of people are going to come and lay their hands on these needs, believing God for your bold need. And we're not going to just sit back and just say, well, we'll see what happens. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to sit back and we're going to watch how God is going to do miracle after miracle after miracle in people's lives because we believed Him for the bold prayer. He says, and he goes on, he says, you know, he gives them this thing. He says, in verse 5, he says, Jesus says, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Now, the reason midnight is there, it's significant. There's a reason that there because midnight represents some things. It represents, obviously, the middle of the night. It represents when it's the darkest. Midnight represents for many people when it's the toughest time and when it's the toughest hour. So I encourage you, Jesus is teaching us, how do I pray? You know what? Here's what he tells us. When life is dark, number one, I pray big prayers. When life is dark, I pray big prayers. Now, I don't know how you deal with the darkness in your world today, but we've all had those moments and seasons and those tough moments in life where it's really dark. Those dark moments where you're dealing with heartache, or maybe you're dealing with loss, or you're dealing with betrayal. Maybe you're dealing with some kind of trauma or sickness. And those days can be really, really dark in your life. The best analogy I can do is if you know what I'm talking about, like you ever been in that place where you're just doggy paddling? You know what doggy paddling is, right? You're swimming. It's like you're doing everything you can just to stay afloat. And sometimes life feels like that. You're kicking, you're working hard, you're doing everything just to stay afloat, just to function, just to move forward. Those are the midnight hours in your life. And it's tough because we've all had them. We all have those dark moments, and we all have those dark moments that come. And I just want to challenge us all that in those moments, it's for us to go to God. Because many times we retreat from Him in our dark moments, but it's the time where you run to God and allow Him to bring light into the midst of your darkness. You come to God knowing that He is the one that in the darkness, He can bring light into the midst of us. You can have freedom. He can bring you hope. He can bring you assurance. All in those moments where you just feel like it's not going to get any better. All in those moments where it's like it just seems so dark and so helpless. God has the ability to bring hope and light in the midst of that darkness. But here's where it all begins. It starts with you and I laying down our pride in the midst of those dark hours. Like to get to the place where you say, I can't fix this myself. to get to this place, you say, well, it's okay if I'm weak, because we're taught totally opposite in our culture today. Like, be strong. You can handle this. You know, you can make it through this. You've got the answers all around you. I know for me, I'm not a fix-it guy. I'm just not that guy. But I'll try. I'll keep at it until eventually my wife Kim says, call someone. And then I call. I'm like, man, what's a Phillips and what's a flathead screwdriver? I know what that is, okay? We have had this curse in our lives as a family that for some reason we can't keep a mailbox straight up, all right? It's been our whole married lives. Like, we were in Massachusetts, like, I'm telling you, we'd have three times a year where people knock on our door and they're holding pieces of our mailbox where they ran into it with their cars. Like, it's just our lot. We can't keep them alive. And so even just this week, Christmas time, in our where we live, there's a mailbox, our mailbox, another mailbox, three homes, and I come out and my mailbox is laying down on the ground. I'm like, what is God, you know? And I'm like, what? And so come to find out, you know, the 4x4 wood that I planted in had rotted and it just broke down. And my neighbor's is fine, and even my neighbor said, hey, if you need help with that, you know, I got this. Shut up. So so I said, I'm gonna fix this. So I go out Christmas break here, and I have to get all the new wood and all this stuff. And this time I only had to text Skip once. And so, but I got the concrete. I didn't concrete it before. And I put it in, and I got it all straight, and it looks beautiful. It's the best mailbox I've ever done. And I let my family know about it. Every time we drive by to leave our yard, I go, look at that mailbox, man. Look how straight it is and firm it's in the ground. Like, it's a pride moment for me. I did it all by myself. But how many of you know this? Proverbs tells us this way. Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. The lowly in spirit bring honor. Like, this idea of getting here with our shoulders back saying, you know what? I got it. I got it all together. Everything's perfect. I can handle this my way. Can I tell you, in 2025, it's not going to work out for you. That will not work out for you. We need to be lowly people. And as we get lowly and as we humble ourselves, watch how God will bless your life. Watch how he'll do amazing things as you walk in humility, realizing that we need some help sometimes. When you find yourself in that dark place, you've got to be able to reach out to the one who's able to provide the perfect light for you. And it is not yourself. C.S. Lewis, famous author, I love how he says it this way. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And, of course, as long as you're looking down, you can't see something that's above you. What a great statement. I just want you to know that in your darkest moments, God is with you. He wants to be with you in the midst of those moments. But you've got to get your eyes off yourself, and you've got to get your eyes off everyone else. Humble yourself and reach out to him. Pray the big prayer. Right? Like that's what this guy in this passage, he had to do. He's at a midnight moment. He's at a midnight emergency, and he had to reach out. And in your dark times, reach out to God. In your dark times, run to God. In your dark times, rest in God. In your dark times, rely on God. Hey, in your dark times, request from God. You can ask big prayers in the midst of darkness. And look what he says. He goes on. He says, okay, so I'm in the midnight. Says to a friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. And then he says, a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. Now, if it was me, I don't know if you guys are with me. If midnight, my buddy's come to me, I got no food to offer, I'm like, well, go DoorDash something, all right? Like, you know what? Taco Bell stays up late. Hit the drive-thru, bro. But this is 2,000 years, right? And 2,000 years ago, and in the Jewish culture of the day, it was the greatest honor to take care of a guest that randomly showed up at your house. I want you to know that it's not great honor today to show up randomly at someone's house. Okay, give us a heads up, all right? But when he looked, the man saw that his guest had arrived, and immediately at that moment, he's like, oh no, I have nothing to feed this person. And it was this great thing to do, is to offer this hospitality. I think Jesus is showing us something here that, like, if we want to learn how to pray, here's what we need to do. When your need is great, I pray big prayers. When your need is great, you pray big prayers. That's what this passage shows us. He's in a place, he has this great need, and he prays this, needs to pray this big prayer. Here's the problem with life and us. We don't do that. The problem is that what we do a lot of other things first. Like the trial comes our way, the need comes our way, and we have all different other responses that we do first. Like maybe for some of you, you have a need, and so your first response is, that's supposed to go in there. I'm going to worry first. Man, what are we going to do now? Oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. It captures you. You think the worst is going to happen. The worst scenario is going to happen in my life. I got this need, and so the first thing, my response is, I got to worry. And the reality is, it doesn't work out well for you. Maybe your response for some of you, you get a need in your life, and your first response is, well, I'm just gonna panic, and you're supposed to go in there. All right, I panic first. You're like, oh no, I'm like a chicken with my head cut off, running around, panicking everywhere. What are we gonna do? Oh, we're gonna bounce here. I don't know how we can handle. How's this gonna work out? What are we gonna do? I call every friend I can call to bring them in on my scenario and tell them how terrible my life is, and I'm just full of panic, and that's our response. Maybe, here's a lot of you in the room, you get a need and your first response is avoid, right? Get that in there. I'm just going to avoid first. Here's the problem. It's like, everything will be good. Not going to, let me look at the problem. I'm just going to avoid it, put my head in the sand. Like, it'll all be fine. It's going to go away. Okay, just think happy thoughts. Happy thoughts. Happy thoughts. I'm bleeding everywhere, but happy thoughts. Maybe I need to go to the ER. I'm going to avoid it. It's going to go away. And that's what we do. Like we just avoid everything. And maybe for some of us, like our first response to the need that comes in our life is just, we're just gripped with fear. And it paralyzes you. You don't do anything. You recluse. You do everything because fear has gripped your life. And that's your first response. A need comes in and the first thing you do is just respond in fear. Hey, I got one for you. Let's get really real today. A need comes in our life. You know what our first response is? Google. Come on, right? Google will fix it. That's my first response, is I'm just going to Google it. Don't ever Google your ailment, right? Because you'll die in or so. But we Google it. But how many know that's not God's solution? You know what God says? You got a need in your life. You know what the first thing you need to do? Here's God's solution. You pray first. Right? Get that in there. You pray first. This is your solution. This is God's solution to your needs. God, I have a need in my life. I don't fear. I don't worry. I don't panic. You know what I do first? I pray. I pray first. And that is God's solution for your life. It's a lifestyle that whenever there's a need in your life, the first thing you do is you pray. That's why Paul even writes it in Philippians. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Listen, as Christians, we should pray about everything in your life. Like, listen, if you're here today and you're stressed, pray about it. If you're worried, pray about it. If you are concerned, pray about it. How about this one? If you are offended right now, pray about it. If you're sick in the room, pray about it. If you're broke, which is half of you in the room right now because Christmas is over, pray about it. If you are angry, pray about it. If you're discouraged in your heart right now, pray about it. Listen, how about this one? If you're grateful, pray about it. If you're happy, pray about it. How about this one? If you're blessed, pray about it. Like no matter what's going on in your life, we learn to pray about it. And here's what I love about this idea of prayer in our needs. Get this morning if you're taking notes. Faith doesn't ignore the facts. It ignores the power of the facts. It doesn't ignore the facts. It ignores the power of the facts. So this man shows up. His friend shows up, and his friend's like, what are we going to eat? And his buddy didn't just wave his arms and go, just believe that there's food there right now. No, here, magically, you're full. You don't need food. Like, that's not what he did, right? Like, he says, church, there are so many people that get into this faith world and get into this rhythm of faith that they won't even say that there's a problem anymore. Like, we'll just speak positive. Like, we're not even going to recognize the problem. Hear me, it's weird. Like, well, you got the bad diagnosis. Well, I won't even say it. Don't even say it. Don't even say cancer. Like, we're not even going to say it. It's not there. It's not real. Can I say to you, no, it's real. It's real. But let's understand this. Even though the issue is real, your God is just as real. And even though the issues is there, so is the miracle-working power of God that he paid for on the cross. That is real too. Like, we aren't going to ignore the facts. We're just going to ignore the power of the facts, right? And we're going to proclaim this year in 2025, greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world, that no matter what comes our way, I can have victory and I can live in victory because of what Jesus has done for us. That's the good news for us today. So whatever need is in your life, you can go to God with it. You can bring it to him. And that's why we do 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's so that it gets us to a vulnerable place where we can bring our needs and we can bring our dreams and we can bring our desires to God because we're in that vulnerable place. Here's the messed up theology of the Christian church today is this. You aren't called to carry your burdens. You are called to give them to him. It's not a badge. Well, I just carry my burdens. I'm low in life. Oh, God just wants me to be miserable and have less. Bad theology. You aren't called to carry your burdens. You are called to give them to him, to give them to God. We present them to him in our prayers, and he does this amazing miracle in our lives. Let me close out with this. So he goes on, and Jesus telling this story, and he says, and suppose one, verse 7, suppose the one inside us answers, don't bother me. Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Can I just say to you, when I read that scripture, this is how we think God acts, by the way. Like it's our natural mindset to think we can't bother him. We can't bother him. Like, well, I can't bother God. He doesn't want me to bother him. The door is already locked. Like, we get this mindset that some of us feel like, well, the opportunity that God had for me is already gone. Like, God wants to do something for somebody else. That door for me is locked. He says that my children are in bed. He's basically referring to us that the idea that God is caring about other people, he doesn't care about me. God blesses other people, he doesn't bless me. And then he gives that last phrase. The guy says, well, I can't get up. Hear me. You know what that's referring to? The idea that basically God doesn't have the power to do it. He can't get up. God doesn't have the power to. He can't come through for me. Like, some of you in the room today say, well, I've asked God for so many things and he's never given me one. I believe God for so many things and he's never done anything to me. And that's the mentality. I can't get up because God won't do it for me. And this is how we view God so many times. And I just believe that 2025, we're going to pray big prayers and this is going to change for all of us in the room. Because then he goes on and he says in verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet, come on, because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. You know what he's basically saying? Just simply because you asked, God's going to show up. Simply because you pursued him, simply because you were reckless, you were bold, simply because you had audacity, God is going to respond to you. Can I give you this last thing? How do I pray? You know what? When God seems distant, I pray big prayers. When God seems distant, I pray big prayers. When it seems like the door's shut, when it seems like he doesn't care, when it seems like the answer won't happen for you, you know what I still do? I don't give up. I pray big prayers. Like, we all have these moments where it seems like the door is shut, where it seems like this is never going to happen to me, where it seems like God has moved on from me and moved on to someone else. And I just want us to believe again. Pray the big prayer. Even when you feel like the door is closed, even when you feel like God's not responding, we pray the big prayers. Even if it feels like there's no way that God can do it for you, we pray the big prayers. By the way, I want you to notice something. Notice I said, when God seems distant. I didn't say he was distant. When it seems like he's distant. I didn't say he was distant. Because God is never distant. He's always with you. And this idea creeps in our mind all the time, like God has abandoned me, or God is not close to me, or God's got a, he's far away. I hear it, if I had a nickel for every time I heard somebody say, well, where is God? Where was God? And my answer to you is, he was always there. He was always there. And that's why prayer and fasting is so important in combination, putting them together. I wrote down this way because I believe fasting disconnects me from the world and reconnects me with the reality of God. The reality of God is he is for you. The reality of God is he is not far from you. He is right in the midst of your life. He's right there. You know, I've had miracles over my life for sure. God has showed up, and there's a couple that to me probably I call them my top tens, where God just showed up in my life. And I was thinking just recently, you know, how God is so faithful when we don't feel like he's faithful. I remember a few years ago, Kim and I were at a place. God's always provided, always protect us, but man, we were just at a place financially where it was like, man, we are one bill away from being in a place that we've never been before. Never, like we're not going to be able to make it. We've never been there before. And yet we've been faithful with everything. And I remember we've been praying, we needed a specific amount. We're praying like, God, okay, well, you know, we were always taught to trust you. We will. And I'll never forget, out of nowhere, a lady came up to me who I've never met. Couldn't even tell you her name today. Never seen her before. Ever seen her since this one time. And she came up to me. And she just began to talk to me. And she said, remind me your name. And I see her pull out a checkbook, and she starts writing the checkbook. And I'm just standing there, and kind of, you know, those awkward moments. And I see her with her pen, and she's going like this. And she writes this check, and she rips it, she takes it out, and she folds it, and she hands it to me, which is not uncommon. I think, oh, that's great. Pause. And normally, you know, I just put it in my pocket and continue talking to people. And she walked off, and something in me was like, look at this. And I opened the check, and it was for like $9,000. In fact, it was the exact amount we needed to bring everything current. The exact amount. I mean, the overwhelming sense of like, what just happened here? It's never happened to me since. I remember chasing her out the door. I said, oh, wait, I can't take this. And she goes, no, I'm giving it to you. And my response to her was like, do you have enough to do this? And she, I literally said that. And she goes, I wouldn't have wrote it if I didn't. I was floored. I couldn't wait to get home. Literally, my wife was on the bed. I kneeled on my knees, and I handed her this check. And I said, Kim, you got to see this. And she opened it up, and I just remember the tears, the overwhelming sense as we lay there, and we just thanked God. Only God can do that. I've never seen this lady since. Never seen her walk in the church, nothing. I don't know. God has a unique way of doing things. I remember I was in a place in my life where I just needed God to show up. Not that I abandoned him or forgot about him, but just like you get to a point where like, God, you've done a lot of things in the past. I need something right now. Like I just need to know, I need to feel that presence that you're so good at. That I just haven't felt in a while. God, and it was just a private prayer that I had. God, I need you to show up in my life. I just, you know, I've always been taught, like, if you doubt God or you wonder if he's real, ask him. Ask him to show up. And I'll never forget, I would preach every summer at a youth camp up in Maine, in the middle of nowhere, in Maine. And I'm up there, and I'm at this place in my life where I just feel like, God, you haven't showed up in a while. I need you. I need an experience where I feel you. And I'm out there, and there was this older couple that used to run the camp for years and years and years. They retired. Never met him before in my life, and he showed up that day, happened to show up that day on the campground, and someone introduced us. And I'm meeting this guy, Brother Mac, they called him. And he's just talking to me, and he just randomly goes on to discussions about how God had moved at their camps and how God had moved in out these areas of New England and how God had done this and how God had done that. And I'm literally listening to him talk. And listen, church, I could feel the presence of the Lord all over me. Like, it was like, and all I kept thinking about, God, I've been praying for this. I've been praying. I just needed to sense you again. And yet I'm listening to his story, and I'm not changing my expressions. I'm just listening to him talk. But yet I'm feeling like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And he's telling this. And he's telling this story. And then he stopped in the middle of it and he goes, he's talking about the presence of the Lord. And he goes, just like you're feeling right now. I was like, jump back. Like, what? Like he sensed what I wasn't expressing, but he sensed the same thing that I was. And it was like God just using somebody to say, listen, no. I will answer your big prayer. I'll be real when you need me to be real. I'll never forget, Braden was like 3 years old, and he walks through the guy I was talking to, and I'll never forget, he put his hand on my son's head, and he goes, I bless this young man. And I see the fruit in my kid's life. Like, I'm just saying, there's things that God will do for you if you ask. If you will have faith and you will reach out, God will do the amazing, impossible things in your life. And I was, my hope today, as you go into 2025, is just to raise your faith, to have those moments where you just go, you know, it's crazy to ask, but I'm going to believe God for something big. Like, it's crazy, but I'm going to believe God for that miracle. It's crazy to ask, but I need a healing in my life. I'm just going to ask God for it. Everyone else thinks it's impossible. Or maybe there's a reconciliation that needs to happen. I mean, it's crazy to ask for that. There's no way that that's going to get repaired. But I'm going to ask for it. I just want to raise your faith that God can do incredible things. Incredible things. So what we're going to do right now across this room, there's hundreds of you in the room today, and I want to ask you, will you have a moment of audacity? And here's what this reckless, crazy, boldness, audacity thing I'm asking you to do is maybe to take this prayer card. We left it on your seat for you. To take this prayer card, you can grab it and begin to, right here where you're sitting, say, God, what am I believing you for right now? What is something big that I'm asking God to do in my life or in someone else's life? And it's a big thing, but I'm believing God for it. And I'm going to give you one moment, 1 minute, right where you're sitting here right this morning, to take this card and believe God for something big in 2025. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's yourself, maybe it's a healing, whatever it is that you know in your heart, I need God to do something big, and I'm going to ask him for it. Maybe you need to be something that's been on your prayer list, but you took it off. Maybe it's something that you've been praying for years and you stopped praying for it. How about we reactivate that prayer request today and believe God for something big? We're going to believe God. We're going to trust God together that over these next 21 days, hundreds of people are going to lay hands on these cards. Hundreds of people are going to lay hands on these cards praying for your needs. And maybe, just maybe, as we're praying, that will be a moment where something happens, where a miracle happens in your life. Can we be bold this morning? Can we be audacious this morning? And say, God, I want to give you this prayer. So right now, take a minute right where you're sitting. You don't have to put your names on it unless you want to. You don't have to do that. It's between you and the Lord. It's totally up to you. But can you take a moment right where you're sitting? And say, God, I'm going to write it out right on this card. This is what I'm believing you for in 2025. Can you do that for me? Right now, take a moment, write on the card. It could be as simple as, I just need a financial breakthrough. I think maybe some of you right now are writing sickness on your card. Maybe you're writing a marriage that needs to be repaired, a relationship that needs to be repaired. Maybe some kids who need to be brought back to the faith. Maybe some of you have kids or grandkids or financial blessing you need in your life, but whatever it is, would you write it on this card? Today, as you walk out the door, you take this card, you'd post it on our faith wall. There's a tag there, you can just pat post it on there. If you need to go quickly, you need to get out of here, you can just drop it in a basket, we'll put it up for you. I want to plaster this wall, this faith wall, with your needs. Give us a point of contact where we can pray for you, we can lift you up, we can pray for the big prayers that you're facing this year. Let me just close with this. Here's my heart for us. CLC, our church, for 2025. That you and I would reach certain levels of faith this year. Here they are. Let me give you the levels of faith that I want us to reach this year. Level one is simply this. I trust that God can. I trust that God can. I trust that God can do it. God has all power. He can do the miracle that I need in my life. I want you to reach that level of faith today. And then as we go throughout this year, I want us to go to the next level. Maybe the next level. Let's go. It's awesome. I trust that God will do it. Let's raise our faith as a church that every time we gather into this room on a Sunday morning, we trust that God is going to do something. He's going to do something amazing for you, for others, for our church, for our community, for our world. And then there's the greatest category. I love this one. Let's get our faith to level three, where it just simply says, I trust even if it doesn't. I trust God even if he doesn't do it for me. I still trust him. Like, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to honor him. I'm still going to worship him because he's God and he knows what's best for me and he's working it all out for his will. So would you stand with me this today? We're going to close with this. If you feel comfortable today, you've written out this prayer. If you feel comfortable, you don't have to do it, but I'm going to pray over your need right now. And if you feel comfortable, maybe you'd raise it up to heaven. And I just want to pray right now. Lord, right now I pray over every need that was written on a card today. Every big prayer that needs to be expressed today, I pray over it, God, that you, Lord, would meet every need that we have, that, Lord, we'd come before you, God, with boldness, with audacity, to say, God, we believe you to do great things. I'm believing you for a big, big miracle in my life, something that can only happen because of you, something that can only happen because of your grace and your goodness, and because you have all the power to do it. So, Lord, we give you our prayers today, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a provision we need, whether it's a family member, we give it to you today. It belongs to you. Hear our big prayers and answer them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's sing about him for a moment.
Because it's your breath.
Life. Lord, it's just so simple. If you're here today and that's you, right where you are, this over your people today, God, that your face would shine upon us, that the joy of the Lord would go about us as we gather just in a few days and celebrate a new year. God, may you be the forefront of that celebration. That God, we're going to go into 2025 with you in the front, believing you for big things. That God, that when we're in those dark moments, I pray big prayers. When I have need, I pray big prayers. God, when I feel like you're distant from me, I pray big prayers. When we go into this new year, God, with you leading the way, and I just believe that miracles are going to happen in each and every one of our lives. So we thank you for it. We honor you. We lift you up. In Jesus' name. Everyone say amen. Amen. Come on, can we give it to the Lord this morning? He's worthy of our praise. Hey, before you exit this morning, I want to let you know we have a prayer corner right in this cross area. If you want prayer today, maybe you gave your heart to the Lord, you raised your hand or whatever, or you just have needs, let's start now. Let's start your big prayers now. There'll be people over here that would love to pray with you. Just say a quick prayer with you. Sneak your way over there. Post your prayer on the wall or drop it in a basket. We'll do it for you. Hey, we just pray God's blessing on you. Have a great new year. Look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Invite someone to church. God bless you.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.